Russell Spratt is with us today. Russell's from Te Ateawa Ngāti Tō and Te Ngāti Raukawa, Te Kai Tuhura, and co-founder of Taumai. And today we're talking with him because he has decades of recruitment insight into the discussion around public sector job cuts and what they mean for the future of our nation's workforce. Russell, thanks for your time this morning. Tēnā koe, and welcome back.
Tēnā koe, Tao. Lovely to be speaking with you.
Thank you. We chatted some time ago when the heavy-handed hammer of government cuts already hit the public sector workforce. Now, the disappointing news that some 9,000 jobs are on the chopping block again. It seems that the decision-makers, well, from the outside in, lack heart, and the reality that good people will end up without jobs, their kids ultimately are the ones that suffer. But there's talk of a top-heavy public service. Do you see it that way as well, Russell?
Look, no, I don't. And so I think that these comments around the fat public service, et cetera, quite frankly, it's a lazy perspective, and it also it doesn't give appropriate balance to the complexity of the issues at hand. And it's just an easy way to say something just so that they can proceed on through and make sweeping changes. So I would encourage people to take the time to try and find out what the numbers actually are, rather than just buying into this, it's top heavy, we've got too many, so on and so forth. It's not fair in my view.
Tēnā koe, curious about how many of these jobs might be our people. I see proud organisations like TPK, without going into detail, there are suggested cuts for many different public sector organisations, except it seems ones that police incarcerate or surveil us. Most of them seem to have missed out on the job cuts. Interesting that.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting flavour? And it's a little distasteful. I think what's interesting is that Māori are highly represented in state sector roles, and at the rate of Māori population as it relates as a total to the percentage. So that's good, and it's as it should be. And also they're spread right across the country, across all of the interesting and important things that the state sector do. But what I think is even more interesting is that oftentimes these Māori-specific roles with the state sector are at the nexus between iwi Māori and the Crown. And so those relationships are deep and rich, mutually rewarding. And if you're going to be taking those relationships out, what happens to those services? What happens to that enduring years-built relationship between Crown and Māori? And why is that okay to start dismantling that? I don't understand what that's about, quite frankly.
Well, it's for efficiencies, and AI is going to replace these real people, and we're going to get more productivity, or so says the finance minister.
Oh, yeah, that's a solid year now from me again. And the reason for that is, so a couple of things. There is nothing wrong with looking to improve productivity and efficiency. Every organisation, be they mainstream, be they Māori, be they from Mars, should be trying to get the very best out of their pūtia. There's nothing wrong with that. But then pointing at something that people don't fully understand, I'm talking about AI, and saying that's going to be the solution to all of our problems, that's just dumb. And what I mean by that is that the potential for AI is extraordinary and not well understood by most of us. We're starting to use it. We're starting to see some impact. And the truth of the matter is that when used well, of course, it will add to efficiencies. It's not the solution to everything in any way, shape, or form. And it's a bit about why aren't we being told the actual facts of these things instead of someone cue the dry ice will say these stories, too many fat cats, AI is going to fix it, but without getting the detail. That's the part that concerns me most, that we're making decisions or that the decision makers are making these decisions without the depth of thinking, the logic, other than the high-level things you're saying, which is just about cut, slash, and burn. It's not respectful to us.
Tēnā koe. I like your line, a bit of pinch it, eh? Cue the dry ice. Cue the dry ice, says Russell Spratt. Thank you, Russell. Look, on a serious note, last time we spoke was actually when there are other public service cuts announced, and we anticipated that many would go looking elsewhere because they say that there are jobs here, but we sensed that that's not quite ticker as well. And I'm sure many of our talented people ended up across in Oz, just looking at the numbers that are going over there, Russell. What's likely in this scenario, do you think? I mean, are there jobs for these people to go to, or are we, in fact, acting as an advertising campaign for the Australian Immigration Service?
So the answer to that is yes and yes. So yes, people will leave, because when you are confronted with, and you are being confronted here for these state sector employees, with the spectre of your job being turned off through no fault of your own, then you do what you need to do to ensure that the kete is full and you can feed your family and carry on with paying the mortgage and the rent. So some people most definitely will leave because it's a proven track. I mean, that track across the ditch is there, it works, and our people are there in their hundreds of thousands, and we know this to be true. And that's cause for great concern to us. And so there's that part. And the second yes is there are jobs here. There is no doubt about that. And if you are impacted by the spectre of job loss, what you need to do is sort of be in a middle ground that says, what do I need to do to ensure that I can continue on with creating wealth for my whānau and I? And there are things that you can do. And look, here's the good news story in amongst all of this. The Māori economy continues to grow apace and well in excess of the mainstream economy. And we talked about that last time, and there are a number of reasons for that. At a high and somewhat simplistic level, we have treaty settlements, getting back a pittance of what it was that was taken, and that's being turned into real opportunity and growth, including many, many, many jobs. So if it were that some of these folk that are impacted are able to find the time and the path through to connect with those opportunities, I would warmly encourage that. It is well worth the effort for many of us. I mean, my business is a very good example of that. I serve the Māori economy across the country with employment opportunities because they're there, they're real, they're growing. So that's what I would do. And that sparkles in so many, many ways. So, yeah, that's the light that's coming out of this. Maybe we will end up with more of our people looking to move into roles, opportunities within our Māori, and I can't see anything wrong with that.
Tēnā koe. Aspects of confidentiality mean that many kaimahi are in this shaky ground, aren't they, and exposed to the uncertainty of whether they will have a job or not. Mm. And then I'm curious about your thoughts, Russell, on whether there are have the potential to legal challenges to the restructuring plans. I know the PSA, and as a proud Māori broadcaster, we, perhaps yourself included, are able to talk about the disappointment of seeing this restructuring and job losses. But are there legal avenues to challenge these decisions available to kaimahi, do you think, Russell?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, and I wouldn't profess to be able to give advice on that. And so mine is just an opinion. And the opinion is this, that during these times of change, there's a couple of things. One is employers do have rights in terms of looking to improve productivity and efficiency, streamlining, getting the best out of their businesses. So there's nothing legally wrong with that. The rub is this, though. The second part is how you go about doing that. And so that's an interesting kind of relationship between those two things. And whether there's any point of law, any breaching of individual and or collective agreements, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what the specifics are. And then there's the third part, which is the LORE with this, you know, the law of, is this the right thing to be doing and how are you doing this? And then in a slightly other box, it's kind of, what are the facts of the matter here when you're saying, employer, that improve productivity, and we're using words like there's too many of you and we're going to use AI. So back to those earlier comments, what's the truth of that? What are the actual facts? What can you point to and prove to justify your decision to cut these jobs? I think that's where some of those tensions will lie, and you know, brains bigger than mine will look at that and see whether that can be tested in law. So I don't know is the answer.
Oh, it's really important that our country fuels Elon Musk's future ambitions here. Of course, he's going into the trillion-dollar AI scene, and perhaps this coalition government are feeling sorry for him, and he might need a little bit more money.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Good catching up with you again, Russell. Thanks very much for your thoughts, man.
Likewise. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Russell.
Okay.
Kia ora. Kia ora. Kia ora.